7:04, time to go to RC Country Hobbies, Folsom Boulevard, not just toys for big boys, for everyone in the entire family, Dave, Katie, and Nate, all the way till 9 a.m., football, Lincoln Kennedy at 7:35, Sean Salisbury at 8:05, and want to remind you, all day, we are giving away Rogue One premiere tickets for this Wednesday, Arden Fair Mall. You'll get a pair of tickets, guaranteed seating. Every time you hear the Darth Vader breath, the sounder we play.
Not that one.
A little bit like that, yeah. You be the fifth caller, as in, Red 5 standing by, Luke Skywalker's call sign. Yes, we're nerds. And you win the tickets. Hey, we're about to talk about the Kings, and it's not going to be pleasant. I've always said, and we all agree, that the business ops have always killed arena, everything. Stuff that goes on there. We just saw that Cirque du Soleil. That was phenomenal. Katie, you're going to want to listen up here. They just announced a new show, and I'm telling you, you and I are going to be very excited for this. May 2nd, Lionel Richie and Mariah Carey will be touring together.
You're kidding.
So freaking there. It's not even funny. I am
crazy. So
there.
That's pretty solid.
And I'm not going to lie, Mariah Carey's okay, but I'm all about seeing
dancing on the ceiling.
Dude, man. Are you kidding me? I will be say you, say
easy
me.
Like Sunday morning, baby.
All over the place. Let's not do a Lionel Richie.
Superstition?
No.
One of my favorite Lionel Richie songs.
Not doing it. It'll take the whole segment because I know me some Lionel Richie songs. Let's just say he's got a bevy of hits in his grab bag.
Yeah.
You'll hear them all.
That Tuskegee album is actually really, really good.
Moving on.
I named a Stevie Wonder song. You guys just went right through
Please
it.
Please don't get back into the Stevie Wonder thing from Friday. Here we go. The Kings take on the Lakers tonight. We were talking in the opening segment, or one of them at least, about how this could be a watch time for the Sacramento Kings as they are, losing with regularity once again.
They've been taking their Metamucil.
Yes, they are. They've lost 5 of 6. They take on the Lakers tonight. It is a very important game for many reasons, not the least of which, if they lose tonight, they then go to Houston, Memphis, Dallas. They're home for Portland, then back out to Utah and Minnesota. There's a lot of losses in there with maybe one or two wins. December 15th is when you can start trading players that were signed over the summer. That's a big deal, and that date is coming up in just a couple of days. And we also mentioned that season ticket renewals went out recently, and many season ticket holders letting us know during the breaks that it's sometime around the beginning of January. They either get in there, opt out, whatever. So they're going to understand first week of January exactly what things are looking at. And I bring that up only to say, as we started, the business ops side of this franchise, we've said this a billion times, they're phenomenal. They're just the best, period, end of statement, knock it out of the park the whole time. The basketball side, well, they haven't, really been up to snuff over the last decade plus. So you've got issues now where if consumer confidence is down, people are frustrated. You combine that with hope or lack thereof for the future and just what seems to be a general malaise. Nate, I put a poll out over the weekend. It was, It was after the Jazz lost Saturday night. One of the bigger polls I've done, over 1,000 people voted. 62% when I asked, how do you feel about the Kings this year? 62% said apathetic. The remaining, 38% said they're upset. They're emotional.
Those are the only two options you gave?
I said, are you more apathetic, disinterested, or are you more pissed, emotional? And 62% took the apathy route. Apathy is the biggest enemy of a professional franchise other than ACL injuries. That's where there are just a lot of people are just like, yeah, they suck, and it's Groundhog Day at sports.
Been there, done that.
Here we go again. How about the future? Well, we don't know. You don't know if your big man's re-signing. You don't know if they're going to trade him. You don't know what they're going to get for him. You don't know if you do trade him, if your front office is capable enough to get what you need to get back for him.
Isn't that pretty much us every day just going through this cycle over and over again of apathy and just trying to, they're bad.
Yeah.
Well, here we are. Let's step out of here.
Yeah.
We were in Dallas, and the fans in that building were big DeMarcus fans.
Sure.
Really badly would like,
large.
They would.
Broad in the shoulders.
Yes. Large.
Well, and he said down there to a reporter with the Morning News.
That's the point, is that, someone asked him specifically about, coming to Dallas, and he said, look, he goes, I'm, flattered by the fans and people wanting me to be here, but I want to stay in Sacramento, basically.
Then the guy responded and said, we hear you like Sacramento. And he said, no, I love Sacramento. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. and we've been saying this pretty consistently all year long. DeMarcus isn't going to sign an extension during the season because he's going to lose about 10% off his max deal if he doesn't wait until the summer. So you're not going to see that happen, regardless if the Kings offer it or not. He's not signing the extension until the summer. It doesn't make financial sense to. My belief, he very much wants to stay in Sacramento. Like, absolutely wants to make it work here. But at the same time, there's also questions where I think you're 26 years old. You're about to sign a, what, five-year deal, six-year deal, whatever it will be, where you need to...
That's your window.
Yes, it is. And you need to see that the team is going in some... That there's just a plan.
Mm-hmm.
There's a plan somewhere. And now we're sitting here, guys, at 8-15, okay? Mm-hmm. 22 games into the season. We've been saying all year, 20 games in, that's when you can finally make your first assessment as to who this team is. Katie, who is this team?
Oh, this is a team that doesn't have an identity.
Yeah.
This is a team that has some really good players and a coach that's trying to figure out how to put the right groups on the floor to be able to close out games, to win games. It's been chaos. That's what this team has been. It's just chaos. And I don't really know how to put it other than there's been strides in certain situations and in certain things. Like, the starts have troubled me in terms of how slowly this team starts out of the gate. They recover and do a great job, but a lot of the time the hole they dig themselves puts them in a bad situation.
Bottom 10 first half team, top 10 second half team when it comes to points scored.
Oh, yeah. I want to say I'd have to pull up my notes from the Utah game, but the Kings are like second in the NBA in the second half of games.
Yeah, they're doing well.
But the reality of the situation is I like the fact that this team, after getting down, which was not the case in the past, doesn't fold, doesn't you know, kind of give up, and they put themselves back in a situation where they have an opportunity to win the game. But that's really difficult to do night in and night out, where you dig yourself a hole, where you have one quarter that is by far the worst. It was an anomaly in Utah that it was the fourth quarter, because it's usually the first quarter. But Utah, that fourth quarter for them was the worst quarter that they've played all year. They scored 8 points. An NBA team.
Mm-hmm.
That's bad.
They're basic. That's what they are. They're basic as hell, this team. There's nothing special or interesting or anything like that. There are like 15 other teams that are exactly like this in the NBA. And it's been that way for years. And that's why you get the apathy. There's nothing special. I mean, like, Kate, you know, Katie's trying to give some silver linings here, and that's great, but it kind of comes back to what Jerry always says, like, even bad teams have leading scorers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, these guys are professional basketball players, so on a nightly basis, we're going to see things at a professional level for 5 to 10 minutes at a time.
I think you're both 100% right, and I'm not just copping out. I think this is a team that has absolutely zero identity whatsoever. The one... I've been killing this team for a long time. If you want me to give you a silver lining, there's one number that kind of stands out to me that does give me a little bit of pause. The Kings' point differential is -1.5. That's 17th in the league. That's one out of the playoffs. In fact, there's only one team that has a worse differential that's currently in the playoffs right now. What that tells me in part, there's been more than a few games that could have gone either way. A different ball bounce, a made free throw, a made layup at the end of a game. And all of a sudden, if you add 4 wins and subtract 4 losses, they're right there for the 8th spot. And are we freaking out? That's the best I can do, man.
No, I know, but like, just doesn't every team go through that? But every 31 team, every 25, yeah, like, oh, but we were right there.
The reality of the situation is Nate is right. Every team can say that. Each season has, you know, you break it up. We're 20 games in at this point, and yeah, there's brutal things. They can recover.
Yeah.
But I think we're all used to the fact that they haven't been able to in the past, so I'm not ready to write it off right yet.
We'll be talking about this all day long, but football next. 4 down territory leading into Lincoln Kennedy at 7:30, Sean Salisbury at 8:05, and keep listening for that Rogue One sounder. Get into the KHDK premiere on Wednesday, 2 days early. Don't go away. The drive continues. Sports 1140 KHDK.
All night. Actually, all morning.
All right, guys, on the fly here. Question number one. Dallas couldn't find their offense with the Will the Brain Trust, excuse me. Will the Brain Trust even start to think about Tony Romo.
Yes. Yes, they will, because it's Jerry freaking Jones. That's why. Of course they will. Should they? No. God, they're 11-2. Shut up. Let this happen for another couple games before you start talking about it.
I don't think they should. They might. You might be right. But I kind of think they're going to roll with this at this point. But I wouldn't be surprised, say, down the road, if they were to face the Giants in the playoffs, that they would start Tony Romo instead.
You know, I think that we could officially say that Bama's better than, like, they could compete in the NFL because, you know, Dak Prescott, like, lost to them and whatever. I don't know, something like that. Sure, they're thinking about Tony Romo, but they shouldn't. Tony Romo really hasn't played in, like, 2 years. And there's this assumption that he would just come back and be the Pro Bowl all-pro guy. They've lost 2 games, man, and it was to the same team, and it was lousy weather last night, and Dez Bryant couldn't hold on to the ball, so... I don't think it's panic time.
The grass always has a bigger star. The other side. Second down.
Next one for you. The Pack are alive. Is it too little too late, Katie?
No, it's not too little too late. They did exactly what they needed to do. I said it last week. I feel like I'm not being a homer. I'm just being realistic. I feel like for them to stay alive, they need to win out. And I thought the one game that really was troublesome on their schedule the remaining 4 weeks was that Seahawks game. They dismantled them last night, 38-10. That is an embarrassment. They made Russell Wilson look horrendous, but thanks to the help of his offensive line. But they faced the Bears, Vikings, and Lions to finish out the season.
Nate, before you respond, let me take a quick phone call. Oh, the Lions in Detroit are on line two, the final game of the season. Oh, that's...
Don't let Aaron Rodgers gain momentum. Ooh, that's the final game.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's not too little too late. It's the Lions we're talking about here, and they're going up against Aaron Rodgers. It's going to come down to the last game of the season, and there will finally be a Packers-Lions game worth watching.
The Green Bay Packers are 2 games behind the Detroit Lions. The Green Bay Packers, however, already beat the Detroit Lions, so that means, yes, they beat them again. In Detroit, they have that little head-to-head advantage. The Packers finish in Chicago, home against the Vikings, who are reeling, and then at the Lions. I think it's probably too late for them to win that division. I don't think it's too late for them to maybe sneaky in. I agree. Don't count out Aaron Rodgers in wintertime.
Le'Veon Bell, that was his third touchdown of the day. The Steelers are 8-5. They're in first place, and they've won 4 in a row. Are they looking as dangerous, or are they as dangerous as they're looking, reading?
Yeah, and I don't think that's a surprise to anyone either. We've been talking about it for a couple weeks. As long as this team has their health on offense, they can pretty much compete with anyone. And we saw yesterday in lousy weather, doesn't really affect their passing game a great deal. Antonio Brown still got off, and then they've got Le'Veon Bell. Yeah, man, that's a scary team.
The Steelers are one of those teams that they do this and that and whatever, and then before you know it, you're going into playoffs, and they're peaking just at the right time. Here's the thing. They've won 5 in a row, and we're talking about this. Wait till they're going into the playoffs, and they've won 7 in a row. Mm-hmm. They finish in Cincinnati and then home for the Baltimore Ravens and the Cleveland Browns. I'm betting they're winning 7 in a row going into that first-round game, if they even play in the first round.
You're not worried about the Bengals. You're a little concerned about the Ravens because they're no slouch. Then, of course, to close out your season with the Browns. But here's the thing about Ben Roethlisberger. He is a high-risk, high-reward quarterback. He is not scared. As the season goes on and they need to get wins to ensure the playoffs, that is one thing that it works in his favor. He's not scared to throw the long ball and go for the big play. Not a lot of quarterbacks like him.
Fourth down, baby.
Buccaneers radio there on the call, stealing the Curtis Granderson home run call from the Yankees there. Hey, Tampa Bay has also won 5 in a row. Do they make the playoffs?
No, I don't think they do. I honestly don't think they do. They finish up at Dallas, then in New Orleans, and then home for the Panthers. Now, on spec, they should go 2-1 in those games. I'm not sure that they do, and if you're forcing me to bet one way or the other, I'm going to say they don't. That's problematic for them. They're tied with the Falcons right now, but if they finish around 9-7, I think they go 1-2, finish 9-7, and they're the outside looking in.
Well, in the Cowboys game, that is the one that is really troublesome, but when you look at the schedule for the Falcons closing out the season, that's where it gets interesting because they don't have a challenging schedule. They play the 49ers at the Panthers and then the Saints. So in that sense, I think they're on the outside.
Yep, 100% agree.
I'm with you. I think it's a no. They're just not quite there yet. I mean, when Jameis is starting to turn it on a little bit, and we love Mike Evans, but
I love Mike Evans.
I think how do you not love Mike Evans?
But they're about a year away.
I think so.
I agree with you too. 3-3-9-11. Whoa, 40.
Oh.
Wow. 1-800-920-1140. Sometimes we acknowledge it, sometimes we don't. That was a great Chewbacca impersonation by you, by the way.
I'm going to keep working on it throughout the day.
Fifth caller now is in red 5 at 339-1140. Every single segment, we're giving away Rogue One premiere tickets. That's Wednesday, Arden Fair Mall. You and a friend, guaranteed seating of the premiere. Be the envy of your entire block, as you can see it, 2 days before anyone else. Want to thank Jersey Mike's for helping us out with Four Down Territory. Visit our two Sacramento area locations, 624 Watt Avenue, Arden Town Center, and on Fulton and Marconi in the Town and Country Village. Get your sub served Mike's way. Onions, lettuce, tomatoes, oil, vinegar, and spices. For more information, hey, just go in there and eat it. It's the fastest growing franchise in the country for, you know, a reason. We'll take a break. Lincoln Kennedy at 7:35. Sean Salisbury at 8:05. We got a packed second half. My goodness, show's half done already.
It's crazy.
And Rogue One tickets all over the place. No flipping. The drive returns shortly right here on KHTK. Oh, that was Primus at first. It's The Drive, Dave, Katie, and Nate. Lincoln Kennedy coming up in just moments. Sean Salisbury at 8:05. It's 7:35. Time to go to RC Country Hobbies on Folsom Boulevard. It's not just toys for big boys. It's for everyone in the entire family. Hey, kids, as I speak to Katie and Nate across from
me,
the youngsters on the program. Would you like to jump around the world of sports with some fun stats that you can tell your friends?
I love stats.
Hey, sounds smart.
And I love friends.
Sound intelligent around the water cooler today. Here you go. Russell Wilson has lost by 10-plus points in his two trips to Lambeau Field.
Mm.
Russell Wilson has not lost by 10-plus points in any other game in his entire career. How about that?
Really?
Oh, yeah. I'm not lying. Not like
before. These are like actual stats, not ones you're just making up.
So is Dom Capers just like the bizarro Wade Phillips or something
he's
like
the
that.
Kryptonite,
like,
man.
He's the only guy that can't stop Colin Kaepernick but can bottle up Russell Wilson.
You're right.
What is this?
Atlanta Falcons scored 6 touchdowns in L.A. Sunday. The Rams have scored 5 touchdowns in L.A. all season. Speaking of not Darth Vader, but speaking of Russell's, Russell Westbrook had his triple-double streak snapped yesterday.
What was that, at seven?
We should have known this is coming, though. We should have known because
they
played the Boston Celtics, who have not allowed a triple-double in 226 straight games, which is the longest active streak in the NBA. Joining us right now, he has the longest active streak of just being awesome. I don't know what the segue is. I just wanted to get to him right now. It is our dear friend, Mr. Lincoln Kennedy. Lincoln, it's Dave, Katie, and Nate. Thank you for joining us. How are you?
Well, thank you. For that introduction, the check is in the mail. I might have to wrap you guys a Christmas present like I'm doing for the rest of the family right now.
Oh, nice.
Well, I mean, I'm fine with that with Lincoln's bankroll. You know, that's going to be it's got that NFL retired player bankroll going on.
Well, the key word was retired, so it's not really a bankroll. It's just banked.
You know, before we get started, like a question I've never asked you. You played on that line, and those guys tend to sometimes have interesting diets. I've never asked you this before, but do you have at the top of your head, or maybe even the middle of your head, if it takes you a second, what like a typical meal would be for you when you were at your biggest and baddest and heaviest?
As far as game meal or what, just during the week?
I'm trying to make the point that you probably used to eat a lot of food, a lot more than you do now.
Well, I mean, I have to disagree with you because I was always a big guy, so the more I ate, the heavier I got and the less effective I was. So I had to watch it. But I played with guys like Nolan Harrison, like Steve Wisniewski, guys that had to eat constantly just to keep their weight up to par. And these were offensive and defensive linemen. So I wasn't necessarily one of those guys that's going to sit down and eat like a T-bone for two or, you know, a big 40-ounce ribeye. I couldn't do that because, first of all, I'd get in trouble getting fined. So, you know what I mean?
You hear these stories about guys.
Like the Gilbert Brown burger. You remember him for the Packers?
Yes.
You also saw how big he was, right?
Right. Yeah.
So it's guys like him and I think guys like Wolfork, Vince Wolfork, who's playing with Houston. I mean, when you see him, We were making a joke about it on the air the night when we were in Mexico City, how I think it's number 775. There should be a zero in between it because the numbers are so spread. And don't get me wrong. I mean, this is a nice guy and stuff like that. But, you know, the thing is that some people reported that he ate himself out of New England. And I think Greg Popper reported that he ate New England. So
yeah, he should have been named, you know, Vince Will Spoon.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
I'm curious though, Lincoln, because when I first went into the WNBA, I think I was like a buck 65, like soaking wet, right? They listed me at like a buck 85, right? Do they do the same, you know, or is it different in the NFL based on the position you play in terms of them fudging your, you know, your height and your weight stats?
Most of the time, guys like me, I wanted to use the combine weight because it was the lowest I was.
Mm-hmm.
Now that I made money, I wasn't scrambling around for food.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I wanted to use that combine weight. So somebody came up and said, yeah, you weigh 335. Yeah, yeah, that's exactly right. I weigh 335, yeah. We're going to go with that one. Just stay with that one. Okay, next question. You know what I mean?
Lincoln Kennedy's with us on KHDK. Well, I mean, you know, niceties aside, let's talk about the Raiders for a second, Lincoln. And just, I mean, straight out of the gate, how much was Derek Carr's finger bothering him on Thursday?
You know what? I don't think I don't think the finger was an issue. Guys, it was frigid cold, mm-hmm. and this is one of the reasons why every quote-unquote NFL expert will tell you teams need to run the ball in November, December, just for those instances. I mean, it's so cold. I mean, it's cold in that instance where you think about it. If you're a quarterback, if you have to use your hands, we take for granted that we wear gloves. We take for granted that we can put our hands in a pocket to keep them warm. But when you're out there running routes and your hands are exposed, you know, those gloves don't necessarily offer warmth. All they do is offer stick 'em in order to catch the ball. And sometimes you got to have warm hands to be able to do that. And the thing is, you saw so many drops. You saw so many errant balls. I mean, Derek only completed, 17 completions out of 41 attempts? So it was an off night. It happens.
Lincoln, I'm curious because we hear a lot about, you know, the Thursday night games because it's the short week. Do you think it would have been a much different game for the Raiders if this game were happening on Sunday versus Thursday? And how unfortunate is that, that you get such a crucial divisional game on a short week?
Well, it's the NFL doesn't show you any favors. I mean, but it's always been the players don't like Thursday games because it throws off their routine. Who knows if the outcome would have been different if it was on Sunday, but I do know this. The players would have been a lot more rested, and you might have, let's say you might have a Kalichi Osemele in there who had to miss the game due to illness in such a quick turnaround. I mean, so who knows? You might have had a full strength. You can't say whether or not it would have been a different outcome, but I do know this. These guys, they don't like Thursday games. They hate Thursday games.
Lincoln Kennedy joining us on KHTK. Here's my thing, Lincoln, and maybe I'm Mr. Excuse Maker, but I'm looking at Derek Carr and I'm saying, wow, you had just the worst game maybe of your professional, if not your entire life. As you mentioned, Osemele, either the top or second best guard in the league, he's out, all that stuff considered, and they were still right there at the end. I'm not going to say I feel good after the loss, but the defense stepped up, did their job, and that's been the big question. Special teams and the offense, you know, took a dump. I'm feeling a little good coming out of that game for the future.
Well, I've said, look, everybody don't throw up the panic flag. Mm-hmm. They're 10-3. They're still in the playoffs. 10-3 in December is not a bad record. That's, I mean, it's a damn good record, so it is what it is. But the thing is that they lost, you know, most of the Raider Nation are just mad because they lost the chance for right now. Initially, if the playoffs started, they'd have to go on the road. They lost the chance of having a home game or maybe having a home field advantage. So that's lost. But all is not lost. I mean, they're 10-3. They've got some work to do, and they got to hope that maybe Kansas City drops one. I mean, Kansas City's beatable, in my opinion. I saw so many flaws in that team. They jumped out to an early lead, and the Raiders shut them down in the second half. The last score they had was the punt return. And if the Raiders had a few more things bounced their way, there would have been a different outcome. But, you know, they beat them. They still, you know, you take your losses and just as much as you take your wins. But all is not lost. You know, Washington's still doing well.
Lincoln Kennedy joining us this morning on KHDK. Lincoln, one of the things that has really begun to come clear to me is the fact that the first four or so weeks of this season, we were extremely concerned about the Raiders' defense. The offense has never been a concern. They did not have a good outing against the Chiefs. However, the defense, absolutely, over the last 4 weeks or so, have really started to prove that, yes, they are contributing in a big way. How important is that at this point of the season, and what has the difference been in that defense?
Absolutely essential. I think it's absolutely essential that the defense plays a pivotal role, because you don't want to get in shootouts every week. There are going to be times where offense just isn't clicking as efficiently as it has in past weeks, and you need to find a way to slow people down and stay in the game, and the defense did that. Calls and turnovers, especially on the plus side of the field, giving the offense opportunities to score. Now, the offense didn't pull its weight by coming through, but it's essential that the defense does that. Now, and you ask, what's the change? Well, it's hard to really put your finger on what the change is, other than, I would say, familiarity with the defenses that they're running. Now guys kind of understand the chemistry amongst themselves as the teammates. More importantly, they kind of understand their role under, you know, coach, defensive coordinator Ken Norton's a dream or vision. So I think they're playing a lot with the better within themselves. But more importantly, their stars are making plays. I mean, you look at what Khalil Mack has done over the past couple of weeks. You look at the impact that Bruce Irvin has had. Look at the impact that, like, guys like T.J. Carey have played in the absence of D.J. Hayden. I mean, these are key guys stepping up and making plays, and that's exactly what your defense needs.
Lincoln Kennedy with us on KHTK. Lincoln, Jack Del Rio has done a really good job this year of keeping the guys focused, and then especially in the media, making sure he sticks to that one week at a time kind of mentality. But, you know, sometimes those goals can change over the course of a season, and going into the final quarter of the year, the Raiders were obviously in prime position to get that number one seed. Did those goals change at all? Did they start talking at all about, hey, we have an opportunity to secure a first round bye or home field advantage, any of that stuff? Or are they still kind of sticking with the one week at a time?
No, you can't project that. Well, you got to stay with the message that you've been at, you had all year, even before this game. You know, beating Carolina the way that they did, beating Buffalo the way they did, and positioning themselves the way that they had. You have to stay focused. The fact is that you got still three key pivotal games, and all of them can help decide the tiebreakers with KC and other teams. If the playoffs started today, they would have to go to Houston. But, you know, they still have to play San Diego. They still have to play Denver. They still have to play Indianapolis. And Kansas City shares a little bit of the same fate, at least in Denver and San Diego. And then they have to play Tennessee. Now, there's a good chance that, you know, Kansas City could drop a couple of those games. The Raiders could find themselves back in the top spot. But they have to take care of business on their own, which means they have to go out and win.
Lincoln Kennedy with us on KHTK again. Excuse Maker Joe right here. But is it, you know, in boxing, they have a saying, styles make fights. Is it just at all possible, take the Atlanta win out, is it just possible that the Chiefs have the Raiders' number and that's just that particular matchup, that they're just fine for the rest of the NFL, but those Chiefs for some reason absolutely own Jack Del Rio and the Raiders?
I mean, yes, it's possible. I mean, it's absolutely possible. I mean, the fact is that, and I told you guys a story, I think it was a week ago or 2 weeks ago, when we went 12-4, we lost both games to Denver. We own the rest of our division, but we lost both games to Denver in that season, you know, and then posting the AFC Championship. That could very, very well be, you know, the same thing for Kansas City, for whatever reason it is. And there are times where you have to figure out a way to get over that hurdle in order to be effective. You remember how long it took Indianapolis to beat New England? Forever.
Yeah.
You know, Manny could not beat Brady. And then when he finally did, what happened? He went to the Super Bowl. I mean, it's instances like that. There are times, there are teams that are other teams' kryptonite.
Lincoln, we know how important Derek Carr is to this team. Khalil Mack on the defensive side. In your mind, who is another player that, as we close out the season here, is going to have to come up big for the Raiders?
Boy, there's quite a few. First one that comes to mind is got to be Bruce Irvin, because he's got to complement Khalil Mack. They have got to corral the outside perimeters of these pass rushes, especially when these teams like you're facing, like San Diego and Denver, and even Indianapolis, want to go to shotgun formations. They've got to have big pass rushes against these offensive lines. And then collective effort, I think, who's going to have to rise to the occasion even more so, and I think they've done a good job, but they have to take it a step more, is this offensive line. Because you think about it, the Raiders' offensive line is going to have to go up against guys like Joey Bosa next week in San Diego, guys like Von Miller at the end of the year in January 1, and between whoever, you know, the Indianapolis Colts throw at you, they're going to have to go up against. And they've got pass rushes. All three teams got pass rushes. They've got to find a way to keep Derek Carr healthy. They can't afford to have any more sacks because there are instances where Derek might come down awkwardly on that hand, and that's the last thing you want.
Lincoln Kennedy with us on KHDK. You know, another group I would throw in there, Lincoln, and surprisingly so, would be the wide receivers. And when you look at the names, I mean, Crabtree, Cooper, Seth Roberts has been phenomenal. Mm-hmm. But going into Thursday's game, Derek Carr had more dropped passes for more yardage than any quarterback in the league. How do you tighten up something like that? I mean, that's kind of uncharacteristic of this group.
Well, it is. But I think, like, when Amari Cooper came in after his first year, he was up in the top five as far as drops. It's been something that you know, we've kind of taken for granted, you know, guys like Michael Crabtree reaching down and grabbing balls by the back end of the ball and stuff like that, being able to pull it in, and then you see the number of drops. It's one of those unfortunates that if you plan on going anywhere, if you plan on doing anything as far as the playoffs, you've got to find a way to limit those or to stop them. And it's not just Amari Cooper Crabtree, it's unanimously. Sometimes it's the placement. But I remember the great Tim Brown, Hall of Famer, he told me one time, he said, look, Link, his philosophy that he tried to perpetuate to the receivers and when he was playing is that if you get two hands on the ball, you're fine if you don't catch it.
Yeah.
That's the way I look at it.
Lincoln Kennedy joining us on KHDK. I got to ask you, man, I'm seeing almost two touchdown lines on Alabama-Washington.
Lay it.
Right? Right?
Lay it.
Come on.
No respect. Hey, look, with all due respect, there's no doubt in your mind, in anybody's mind, Alabama's clearly the best team in the country, absolutely. But anything can happen in a single-game elimination. I'm going to go down to the Peach Bowl and work with the Pac-12 network. And so I'm hoping for a good turnout. But I think with this offense and with the ability of this offense and Jake Browning's offense has shown in the past, I know Alabama's good.
Hold on.
Gee, go ahead. We got you. Sorry. I was on the stupid page that says that. All of a sudden, they're playing a freaking infomercial, Lincoln. I'm sorry. Minus 16.
No, but here, you know what? Hey, look, it's not going to be easy for the Dogs. They're
no.
They're going to get it to Alabama and basically a home game. That's not right.
I'm curious with you, though. Now, so I love that you're going to be down there at the Peach Bowl. Is it, man, I'm getting paid to be on the sidelines of a game I'd want to go to anyways. I'm getting my trip paid for, I'm getting money in my pocket, or is it, man, I love my job, and I know you do, and I know you respect your job, but at the same time, I'm gonna have to be working, and I would rather just be sitting front row and watching the game?
I love my job, and I'm glad that I'm going to be there. To me, the correlations between this season and what we did 25 years ago, It's strange that it just happens that, you know, 25 years later, they're in a chance to play for a national championship and possibly win again a national championship up against one of the greatest teams of this decade. And it's a huge challenge, and I can see nothing more than wanting to be on the sidelines and witness it, whether it comes true or it's, you know, an epic collapse. At least I want to be there to support Coach Pete and the boys.
You're fair, but let's be honest. I mean, you're an alum, so let's just call you a little bit of a homer for the Huskies. I'm a homer for Jake Browning. So is it that we're both a little bit homer, or is it the stupidity, or is it East Coast bias as to why you're seeing it's, by the way, 16 points now Alabama favorite, and Jake Browning wasn't even invited to New York.
Lay it. To me, it is the East Coast bias because, to me, I honestly thought, I felt this all along, they want to have Alabama, and they want to have one of the other premier brands. Now, Washington's not there. As much as my Husky fans would like to see it, you're not as big as Ohio State.
Sure.
You're not as big as Clemson. You're not as big. I love you guys in Seattle, but let's just keep it real. So they want to have that. So that's why they positioned the way they did. There was really no reason for Ohio State to drop out of the two spot. When they didn't play, they just took care of business if you were so enamored. Unless, what? You want to see that. You want to see them play, possibly play against Ohio State in the championship.
Yeah, and you look at that. I saw, and Grant Napier was wondering the same thing. We were both grousing on Twitter. How the hell is Jake Browning not even in New York? I get he's not going to win. How the hell are you not even in New York?
Big branding. That's what it is. It's Oklahoma had its two, you know, and everybody talked about, you know, to me, I was like, I wouldn't even put Oklahoma in the conversation. Yes, D.D. Westbrook and Mayfield had great seasons, but let's keep it real. They're playing playing in the Big 12. They don't play any defense there. They basically lay down at the snap of the ball. So you know what?
I was in New Orleans at the Sugar Bowl when Ohio State, in the first year of this new playoff format, they were taking on Alabama. Yeah. And before the game, all you heard was Bama fan. And I sat there and watched Ohio State dismantle Alabama in that game and go on to win the national championship. Again, I know we're a little biased towards Washington, but they've got a shot at these guys, don't they?
I think they got a shot. It would have helped more if Lane Kiffin would have took the job at Houston like we originally heard, and then not been in the bowl game. But it is what it is, and for that matter, I think they got a shot. More importantly, I think they'll find a way to keep it close. I don't think – you know, look, Alabama's not that good on offense. They're definitely damn good on defense and special teams. But if Washington can take care of the football, I think anything's possible.
Lincoln, we appreciate your time. As always, have a great week. We'll talk to you next Monday, hopefully after a Raider win.
Thank you, guys. I'll talk to you guys.
Take care.
All right, you too.
That is Lincoln Kennedy. Couple more numbers for you before we go to break here, if you would, just because these are so much fun.
Sure.
Remember the beginning of the year how Odell Beckham, people were just wondering, he hadn't scored a touchdown through week five.
Yes, he was a trash fantasy football player for like 6-7 weeks.
Well, somebody traded for him at that point, and somebody's very happy because since week five, Odell Beckham Jr. has 9 touchdown receptions. That leads the NFL.
Hmm.
So there's that. Lincoln. Dak Prescott thrown to Dez Bryant over the 2 games versus the Giants. 1 of 10 with 8 yards and 2 picks.
Golly.
Wait, what? Say that again?
Dak Prescott over the 2 games against the Giants this year, throwing to Dez Bryant is 1 of 10 with 8 yards and 2 interceptions.
Is that bad?
I don't think that's going to get the job done. I don't think so. The Golden
Go ahead. Add a number.
Yes, please.
Todd Gurley has failed to go over 100 yards in 20 of the last 21 games.
Oh, did he?
Mm-hmm.
And we got sound from him here. We can get to later where he compared his team to a middle school team. Let's see.
They lost to the Niners by like 3 scores.
The Warriors, as you saw, got just the you-know-what kicked out of them by Memphis over the weekend.
Yeah, they did.
They turned around and won last night, stopping that losing streak at, one. The Warriors have played 111 straight games without back-to-back losses in the regular season.
That is good.
Note, I don't say the postseason. 3-1. 111 games without 2 losses. Nate Goodyear in the back.
You want some breaking news that'll make Lincoln Kennedy happen?
Yes.
Alabama offensive coordinator Lane Kiffin agrees to become Florida Atlantic's next head coach, according to ESPN.
FAU. FAU.
So there you go.
All right. That will make him very, very happy. He's got a prep and stuff. When we get back, Sean Salisbury will join us, and I'll tell you, screw Tom Brady, screw Joe Montana, screw all these guys. The real king of the comeback is Jim Caldwell, and I'll tell you exactly why when we return. It's The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK.